Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
So we welcome you again to yet another discussion on our series. It's Bible Principles. Lesson number 26 is where we're at, and we're talking about death and resurrection this week. Now, if death is asleep, then the second coming is the ultimate wake-up call, where I talk about an alarm. The Bible will testify about a great trumpet shout and a resounding archangel shout. So let's talk about that. And we're going to be looking at the blessed hope. The moment the sky splits open and the dead in Christ rise first, says the word. For many, the afterlife is a vague, ghastly idea where we're not sure what will happen, but the Bible promises something much better, something much more practical, something much more tangible, something much more realistic, a physical, tangible, and a glorious resurrection. From the promises in 1 Thessalonians 2 to the victory of the empty tomb, we are discussing the day when mortal puts on immortality. If you've ever said goodbye to a loved one, this episode, this conversation is your reminder that the goodbye is just to see you later. It's not forever. Mfundisi Mutakwa, good morning to you, sir, and welcome once again.
Good morning, moderator, and good morning, listeners.
Thank you so much, Muruti. Trusting that we find you well.
Yeah, I'm very well.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, by the way, for being part of this conversation, a potent subject we are discussing, and I think we really need God's Spirit to lead us. I'm going to ask that you pray quickly as we jump in.
Gracious Father, we again glorify your name for an opportunity like this one.
Yes, Father.
To be found alive and to be able to be on this platform as we, may the power of the Holy Spirit guide us, lead us, that we may do it for your will, yes, and not for us.
Yes.
Even for the listen. Better. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Ooh, the pastor's line, Muruti, your line is not the best there. Maybe just try and move around so that we can find you much, much better. Let's just jump straight into the conversation. We're looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I mean, if you talk about death and resurrection, you cannot have any meaningful conversation without turning your direction into this passage. 1 Thessalonians 4, when you start from verse 13 going down, it speaks much to our subject. Verse 16 would say, the dead in Christ will rise first. Why is the physical resurrection so central to the Advent hope compared to just a spiritual afterlife where you just go there, almost like a transition there, nothing spectacular about it?
Well, thank you so much. Let me begin it this way. I will also read John chapter 5, verse 28 to 29.
Okay.
The Bible says, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming, in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice,
mm-hmm,
and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me mention three things. One, why we say this particular hope is very central to us who are biblically inclined to Seventh-day Adventists, is that, first of all, the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ is seen as a guarantee,
okay,
and pattern of our physical future resurrection. Just as his body did not remain in the tomb,
mm-hmm,
ours will also not remain in the tomb.
Mm.
Secondly, we are talking of the redemption of the whole person. The Christian hope is not just to be something that is spiritually disembodied
okay,
in heaven, but
okay,
to be restored as complete, physical, and glorified being on a new earth. Thirdly, I would say we are going to face a situation where there is a reversal of the consequences of sin.
Okay.
Because according to the Bible, the wages of sin is viewed as death. Total destruction. So the physical resurrection is the total reverse of the case, bringing about a restored person, an immortal person, a physical life that lives forever.
Amen.
That is why even when you mention about death what we were talking about yesterday, when he says sleep, it means we have a time when God is coming. Jesus is coming to wake us up. And when he wakes us up, he will give us a body that will not die. We will have immortality.
Amen.
Yeah. So, in short, for Adventists, the resurrection is the only hope. Without it, the dead are simply gone. Forget about it. The resurrection is the moment of victory. The resurrection is the restoration of life. The resurrection is the health and consciousness, fulfilling of God's promise in terms of eternal life.
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, Paul says, if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain. In fact, Christianity as a whole becomes pointless. Leave it. Stop it right now to do this gospel work, because it all hinges on this idea of bodily resurrection. And it starts with Christ, because it will go over into our lives as well. Talk to us about the Bible teaching on the state of the dead. How does this uphold the character of God as a loving judge who does not subject the lost to internal conscious torment? I mean, we believe that the dead will not be burning for eternity. No barbecue that lasts forever.
Yeah, so but thank you, moderator. Let me begin it this way by saying that's why the Bible describes death as sleep.
Okay.
As opposed to what people teach, that someone is either in purgatory or either in heaven or in hell, where they continue to suffer. So it's a sleep, meaning that there's a time when God comes, someone is going to wake up. So there is no torture involved in there. Then I spoke about wages of sin is death. There is nothing like you are going to stay in hell for eternity. What happens is that there comes a time when God completely destroys the punishment that is talked about here, which is the second death, is an absolute cleansing, not where someone perpetually continues to burn and so forth. And also remember, God is a loving creator. He's not a torture. The idea of a loving creator is that he cannot subject the human beings that he created to eternal torment, to a lifetime where they are in torment, they are crying. No. So the destruction of the wicked is actually seen as the second death, according to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14, rather than an ever-ending torture. So that makes God's character to be a loving God. One has decided not to follow him. But because they have decided not to follow him, he says that those who decide not to follow him have to perish. But how they perish is that they will not be in torment forever. Finality of judgment, where people talk about the burning in hell, this one does not take a place forever. Even when we talk about what we say, unquenchable fire, it means no one can stop the fire until it consumes to ashes everything. That is why when we go to Malachi chapter 4, verse 1 to 3, he's talking about this very item where God completely destroys with unquenchable fire, fire which destroys that things come to an end. There is no lasting forever in torment. Then let me also say that why we look at the character of God as a loving judge is that there is freedom of choice. God respects human's free will. he will not force us to do what we don't want. The punishment is as a result of us, of the choice we have made. So the loss of the source of life, friends, is as a result of what we have decided to do. We have decided not to accept him. We have decided to go our own way. And because of that, what happens? We get what we have chosen. So there is nothing like God is vengeful. He's not vengeful. Is what we have decided after being given the opportunity to accept Jesus. We go our own way.
No, certainly. And I think that is quite profound, Mtada. and I think it's something that we sometimes take for granted, that this idea of choice is up to us. I remember Mfundisi Maphosa, Dr. Maphosa would make a mention that when we find ourselves in hell, no one goes to hell for sin. We go to hell because we choose to. Because Christ died for sin. That's not an excuse anymore. When we find ourselves in a space where we not ought to be, it's because that's what we have chosen. God won't force us to go any other way. Mfundisi, I want us to touch on the idea of immortality, right? And Adventists believe that this is only a gift you will receive at the second coming. That's when we receive it. I mean, we spoke earlier on in Corinthians where Paul says in chapter 15 that the mortal shall put on immortality, the corruption put on incorruptibility, only at the second coming of Christ. I want us to maybe rehash and maybe make clear why is it important to understand, especially with the light of the hint you made. You made a point yesterday explaining on the greatest lie ever told, the first lie, you shall not surely die. No, that's not true. There is nothing else immortal except God. That's what actually 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16 would say. Only God is immortal. Talk to us about why this becomes very important.
Thank you so much. That is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16. Mm-hmm. Here we say the only one who is immortal, is dwelling in an approachable light, is God. No man has the immortality which God has, and where he stays, no man has seen. But has been there, has seen in the context of physical seeing. Mm-hmm. But now what we want to understand is that there is the need for Christ. If we were immortal, mm-hmm. Christ would not have come. We did not need a savior. Remember, the Bible says, is it in Ezekiel chapter 8, verse 20, that the soul that sins shall do what? Die. So what are we talking about here? We are simply saying immortality is conditional, depending entirely on accepting Jesus. We is the only source of eternal life. We must understand here that when we say God is the only one who is immortal, and Adventists believe that immortality is given at this time, we are simply upholding God's character as one who is loving and just. The belief in this idea is that God, who is loving, mm-hmm. at the end of time comes and gives a reward to those who have accepted him.
Yeah.
So, immortality is given as comes. For now, we remain in sin. Mm-hmm. We have to strive. We have to pray. Mm-hmm. We have to ask Jesus to come to us. So, when we look at death, we talk about it as something that is unconscious until the resurrection. Therefore, the second coming is a blessed hope, according Amen. To Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Amen. Because it is a specific event in future where believers finally are crossed with immortality. Mm. When we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52 to 53, they are reunited with the loved ones. So this idea that we teach, it actually protects against spiritualism and deception.
Yes.
They believe that the dead are in heaven or hell. How can they go to heaven and Jesus comes back and again starts calling the graves to open and bring them up? There is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. So that immortality, they only aim it, get it at the second coming of Jesus. Now, let me, as we go to probably the last part, let me emphasize this. The Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that we quoted yesterday, that humans are a combination of death and the breath of life, making them a living soul. When the breath of life returns to God at death, it's a conscious entity. What do we mean? We are saying humans are entirely dependent on God for life and existence. Fostering not even a pastor, not even a bishop, not even a pope, is only given at that time when Jesus comes back, when sin comes to an end. For now, all of us are sinners. Mm. Only God is immortal.
Only God is immortal. He then rewards those that are his with immortality on the end of time. Mfundisi, we'll have to leave it then for today. But thank you so much for blessing us with such a potent lesson, talking to us about what the first resurrection means and how it's available to each and every one of us. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
God bless you. As Mfundisi Mutakwa there joining us, Pastor Shepherd, riding on this wave of the scripture to say, guys, it's promised in his word that you will be able to have life again. Don't worry about this first death. The first death is just but a sleep. You will be able to wake up. The question is, when you wake up, which resurrection are you being found on? The first one where there is life after it, or the second one where there is destruction and damnation after it? And I pray the choice is clear for you.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.